a conversation with Vince McMahon, creator of the World Wrestling Federation, the WWF, upon realizing that we are a nation in the grip, a veritable step-over toehold, if you will, of World Wrestling Federation syndrome. And this man has a better grasp on today's world than anybody you've talked to in a long while. Vince McMahon is something of a sage in this age of amusement when everything must be entertaining, simple, and good or evil, from the current focus of journalism, Tanya versus Nancy, to formerly complex areas like foreign policy, where as surely as Vince creates wrestling villains like the Iron Sheik, Washington now creates Middle East madmen, Saddam Hussein, the Ayatollah, or Central American dictators like Manuel Noriega and Daniel Ortega, and even Somalian warlords, as bad as Hitler, villains who will unite the crowd against them but haven't a ghost of a chance of winning. Vince McMahon might make a good Secretary of State if he weren't having so much fun. It might strike you while looking over major and minor league baseball uniforms. Look at these great new Cucamonga Quakes hats with designer Ann Osi, recognized as one of the most influential people in baseball today because she is the one who fashions new designs and colors, more black, more teal, that sell millions of dollars worth of caps and shirts, an enterprise that is as important to baseball these days as gate receipts. Win or lose, if a team's caps look good, they sell. Style over substance, and team loyalty be damned. At the time she and I spoke, a minor league franchise in Portland, Maine, had been selling caps and shirts for 2 years, tons of them, and had yet even to field a team. Is the game itself really necessary anymore? Or it might be impressed upon you when meeting the Jerky Boys, two chronically unemployed young men from New York named Johnny B. and Kamal, who hit the charts with a recording of their telephone prank calls and are now shooting a Hollywood film. Does their success signal the end of Western civilization as we know it? I asked disc jockey Gary Bryan, who was interviewing them on Z100 Radio in New York. No, he laughs, but you can see it from here. Or strolling through a warehouse with Nap Berrigan. America may not be making much, but we're delivering it at the speed of light. Nap, short for Napoleon, seems an altogether appropriate name for the man who started Dial-A-Mattress with $2,000, a phone, a car, and some mattresses, and now does $30 or $40 million in sales every year by promising delivery of a mattress anytime, any place, within 2 hours. It's becoming a service economy. Or talking on the set of the film Rudy with his real-life subject, Rudy Rudiger, who has parlayed 27 seconds of playing time at Notre Dame into an industry. He has no product, no service, just himself. He talked his way into Notre Dame, talked his way onto Notre Dame's football team, talked Hollywood into making the story of his life. Now he has a book out, an infomercial to sell his inspirational tapes, and he speaks to Amway distributors and others at $5,000 to $10,000 a pop. The change in America is made lapidary when you walk into an abandoned steam locomotive factory in Baltimore, one of those gargantuan, dingy old mausoleums left behind in the Rust Belt, and you see platoons of colorfully spandexed sport folk with ropes and tackle paying for the privilege of scaling a man-made plywood mountain built by Jim Ellis, an entrepreneurial visionary of adaptive reuse. And it dawns on you while meeting the adventure capitalists profiled in this book, be it Jim Reed, the used golf ball king of Florida, Bob Chandler, the inventor of the monster truck, or Rick Klun, who quit his corporate job and went on the pro bass fishing circuit. They are entrepreneurial pioneers all, making their way in post-industrial America with ingenuity, individuality, and often with that dash of courage or craziness necessary to step outside the corporate structure and do what they wanted to do. A century ago, these people might have built railroads, produced steel and oil, invented cars, telephones, light bulbs, and airplanes, as did Commodore Vanderbilt, Andrew Carnegie, John D. Rockefeller, Henry Ford, Alexander Graham Bell, Thomas Edison, and the Wright brothers in the industrial age.